terceira, and baixa autoridade, sabe?
Heart has been done, and then when the heart is more pure, the chanting is more satisfying, really, or it's just more effective. Did you also feel it was just? We should have these festivals. Maybe 4 days is not something which is practical every weekend, but. We should have it more often. Thank you, Amarananda. With your drum, you give great pleasure to the devotees and your happy smile. Is it all right with the translation, devotee? Do you all hear Irena? Yeah? Yes? Good. Devashi, you are hearing, Irena? Yeah? Oh, oh. Yes, you are a film man. You can do both, yes. Stereo, yes. Wonderful.
Jai Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari Jai Radha Madhava Ya bihari Gopi dana vallava Girivarada Pirana Vallava Giri Varada Giri Asodanandana Brajadana Rangana Sodanandana Brajadana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravana Dali Yamuna Tiravana Jadi, Hidaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada Gauranikai Kunya Bihari Radha, Kunya Bihari Radha. Jaya Radha, Govinda Radha, Govinda Radha. Para Paramahansa Paravraja Kacharya Ashtada Satasi Simatisti Vaingres Silabe Charadaravinda Shila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaja Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anand Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai Iskon Founder Acharya Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. All glories to the Assembly Boris. All glories to the Assembly Boris. All glories to C.C. Guru and Shigaranga. All glories to Sila Prabhupada, Sila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Is it text 29? Is that? Shivagavana Vacha? Yes. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Ma Veda Garbha Gastandrim Sarga Utyamang Avaha Tanmaya Paditam Yagre Yanmang Pratayate Bhavan Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Ma Veda Galabha Gastandrin Sarga Udyamang Avaha Tanmaya Paditam Hyagre Yanmang Pratayate Bhavan Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Ma Veda Garbha Gastandrim Saga Udyamam Avaha Tanmaya Paditam Hyakre Yanmang Pragtayate Bhavan Yes, please.
Pratayate Bhavan. Thank you, Matajis, please. Thank you. Actually, it may be most practical if, Irena, would you mind to just come here where the microphone is and read everything in Croatian? Do you have, for Irena, how do you say it, the Croatian translation? It's 3:9:29. You can have my microphone.
Svevišnji gospodin je tada rekao: O Brahma, o dubino vedske mudrosti, nemoj biti ni obeshrabren, niti zabrinut zbog stvaranja. Ono što moliš od mene, već ti je podareno. Smisao. Ovo se zbiva na početku svemira. Brahma je bio prvo i jedino stvoreno biće i kada je pogledao oko sebe, svuda je vidio tamu. Sada je imao tu želju da učini jednu konkretnu službu za Krišnu, a to je da stvori ovaj svemir. Ali ne zna kako. I sada mu Krišna govori. Svevišnji gospodin je tada rekao: O Brahma, o dubino vedske mudrosti, nemoj biti ni obeshrabren, niti zabrinut zbog stvaranja. Ono što moliš od mene, već ti je podareno. Smisao. Svaka osoba koju ovlasti gospodin ili njegov vjerodostojni predstavnik, već je blagoslovljena, kao i posao koji joj je povjeren. Naravno, osoba kojoj je povjerena takva odgovornost treba uvijek biti svjesna svoje nesposobnosti i mora uvijek tražiti gospodinovu milost za uspješno obavljanje svoje dužnosti. Ne treba se uobraziti jer je povjereno izvršenje određenog zadatka. Onaj kome se na taj način nešto povjeri, sretan je, iako je uvijek utemeljen u razumijevanju da je podređen volji svevišnjeg, sigurno će biti uspješan u izvršenju svog zadatka. Arjuni je bila povjerena borba u bici na Kurukšetri, i prije nego što mu je to povjereno, gospodin je već uredio da on pobjedi. Arjuna je uvijek bio svjestan svog podređenog položaja u odnosu na gospodina i tako ga je prihvatio kao vrhovnog vodiča u ispunjavanju svoje odgovornosti. Svatko tko se ponosi tako odgovornim radom i ne pripisuje zasluge svevišnjem gospodinu, svakako je lažno ponosan i ne može ništa pravilno izvršiti. Brahma i drugi u nizu njegovog učeničkog nasljeđa, koji slijede njegove stope, uvijek su uspješni u transcendentalnom služenju svevišnjeg gospodina s ljubavlju.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Aminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Vajadine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paskatyare Sadarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gobhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
This is a very important subject. We here find really a principle of work in devotion. Brahma wishes to do something for Krishna, but is anxious, in fact, full of worries and anxieties, whether or not it will be possible for him to do this. And Krishna encourages Brahma. He simply says, it's already sure that you will be successful. Brahma must have asked, what? Why is it sure I have to create a universe and there's nothing there and I could make many mistakes? For instance, how to arrange the gravitational forces? You know, it's difficult. But Krishna says it's successful because it has been already given to you. And I think we are asking, how does this work? It works like this. In devotional service, anything difficult can be done, but not by you. It can be done only if you act as a humble instrument, if you are subordinate to the will of the Supreme, and you do what has been entrusted to you, then Krishna will make you a success. You will become successful on your own, but because Krishna works through you, Nirmina, Hare Krishna, good morning, you are somewhere else with your mind. But because Krishna works through you, therefore you can be successful. The idea is really, you need to connect yourself with Krishna. you need to be subordinate to Krishna, and you have to be careful when the results come. Don't be puffed up that I did it. It's wrong, you didn't do it. Krishna arranged it that this could be done. And then you don't have anything to worry. Prabhupada even said, when the results are not coming, you still are successful. Because the success in life is not really so much the results, it's that you become a devotee who is subordinate and just faithful to Krishna, and a humble soul who gives credit to the Supreme Lord. Now, I would like now to discuss how we can come to this level where we are just surrendered souls to Guru and Krishna, and where Guru and Krishna work through us and make things happen. I think we all know the example of Srila Prabhupada, who was so extremely surrendered to his own Guru Maharaj that he could work with this principle which we have explained. You know, when you have heard many times when Prabhupada came to America, there was absolutely nothing. There was nothing in terms of Krishna consciousness. But Prabhupada was asked by a person who met Prabhupada, what do you have here already? Now, he could have said nothing. That would be in one sense correct. There was no temple, no devotees, no gurukul. But Prabhupada answered the question, what do you have here? By saying, we have temples, we have many books printed, and so on and so forth. And the reason why he said so is because he was acting on behalf of his own spiritual master and on behalf of Krishna. So he had no doubt. I'm just trying to please my Guru Maharaj and Krishna, and it will be successful because Krishna is behind it. So my tip to all of you is, get yourself a mission in life which is sanctioned by Guru and Krishna, and you will see wonders unfolding in your life. You will actually come to the realization of one of Prabhupada's slogan. It's impossible, he said, is a word in the fool's dictionary. Remember this slogan? So, every one of you, get yourself a life. That means, get yourself a mission, which is authorized by Guru and Krishna. And then start acting. And you will see, doors will be opening. Locks will unlock. Gates will form in mountains, like you remember the Lord of the Rings, someone wrote Agra Kadabra, and zoop, the mountain opened and a pathway became free. Someone told me this scene. It's an old scene. It's from Aladdin. What is his name? You know, 1001 Fair Nights, you know. How do we say? 1001 Nights, yes. If you have a mission in your life, that means you have a spiritual life. That's why we say, get yourself a life. Get an authorized mission, and doors will open for you. But then you have to be careful. Don't think, oh, because of me the doors have opened. Or because of me gateways have formed in the mountain. Because of me, I was successful. Remember to give credit to the Supreme Lord. So, Krishna is instructing Brahma in this spiritual principle. My dear devotees, it's so important to understand that only with divine help can we live a divine life. If you don't have a divine help, you can't live a divine life. It's that simple. Even if you have a lot of knowledge, even if you are extremely talented, you must know knowledge and talent alone cannot make you a successful person on the spiritual life. And Krishna speaks about this in the Gita. He says, even a man with knowledge struggles. There is this, this is the third chapter of the Gita, where Krishna says, knowledge alone just cannot protect you. I think you all know, Branko, you are an older devotee. Branko is maybe one of the oldest devotees amongst us, and we have serious discussions on this, that Branko knows more than most probably any one of us here. He has heard many more lectures. But is this enough? If we ask Branko, he would say, well, I do have knowledge, but I sometimes lack the strength to act upon the knowledge. I think we all feel like Branko. What we have heard. Alone this spiritual principle, which you now have heard, is enough. You don't need more. Get a mission by Guru and Krishna, follow the instructions, and you will be successful. Nothing more is required. But can we always do it? It's difficult. Because knowledge alone cannot protect us. You know why this is so? Let me say it very simply. It's hard to be strong with conflicting desires. I need to explain this sentence. It's a little bit cryptic. We have our desires. And these desires are the result of many, many lifetimes of trying to enjoy the material world. And these desires to enjoy are still with us. For instance, sexual desires. As long as we have these instruments and we have a mind, these desires will sometimes come. Or to be appreciated and to be in some ways recognized, and maybe desires for fame. Very strong, very deep-rooted desires are in us. The two are connected, and I only will mention these two material desires. I could go through a whole list of 50, and you would be very depressed at the end of the lecture. You would feel, oh, Sachinandan Swami really knows what is going on in the secret cave of my heart, but this wouldn't help you very much in spiritual life. So let us leave it with these two desires, and let's use the Sanskrit word adi. Adi means etc. Desires for fame and desires for physical sense gratification and adi and more, you know. Yes. So you can hear that it is not good. It doesn't bring you spiritual happiness. It's not good for devotional service, and get a lot of knowledge on top of these desires. But the desires will still remain in your heart. And then you have something which you know you do, you should do, you are convinced, and then you have this other, this original primeval, the scream of the flesh, you know, in you. This is expressed in biblical literature. It says, oh, Krishna, what does it say? What? The flesh is weak. Yeah, the flesh is weak. Against all our good intentions. I can express it in the language of a German. Zwei Seelen, zwei Seelen, ach, wohnen in meiner Brust. Die eine macht der anderen Frust. I will say, this is my own rendition of Goethe. It's a new translation. It says, two souls are in my chest, and they are fighting with each other, and so on and so forth. So it's hard to be strong with conflicting desires. The scriptures explain this dilemma of the divided soul, who, by saying, oh, how can I get something which is in the east by walking to the west? In which part of Zagreb is our west? Okay, so here then we have to turn it around. How can I get to the Zagreb temple, which is in the west, if I take the Istok exit in the autobahn, you know, if I go to the east? This is what conflicting desires mean. You want to go to one part of you wants to go to the temple, and another wants to go to the, let us call it the DVD library, the video library, you know, the material energy and its possibilities. And a video shop is a possibility shop which offers different worlds to the customer. So, the only way really to be strong is if you are Krishna conscious, if you have Krishna in your heart. It's not knowledge which protects you, it's Krishna Sankarshan. Krishna in the heart. Prabhupada once talked about Hiranyakashipu. He said, wherever Hiranyakashipu looked, he saw Krishna nowhere. And wherever Prahlad Maharaj looked, he saw Krishna everywhere. This is a devotee, Nikonya Rasa. And Prahlad only saw Krishna and opportunities for devotional service. And Hiranyakashipu only saw Maya and opportunities for sense gratification. So if you are Krishna conscious, that is, mindful of Krishna, that means your mind and your heart are full with Krishna, you will see him everywhere, and you just don't see Maya. But if you are not Krishna conscious, you see Maya everywhere, and Maya will pull at you. See, Maya, don't underestimate Maya. Maya knows your secret desires, what's really in your heart. And her duty is to arrange that these secret desires can be fulfilled. She puts it right before you. And you go, oh no! But your heart goes, oh yes! This is what it means to have conflicting desires, you know. That's why, you know, in the old days we had immature brahmacharis, you know, and they would always say, these women are impossible. What they said is, what their voice said, oh no, but what their heart said, Oh, yes, you know. But they spoke something, but they wanted something else. A person who is Krishna conscious cannot be disturbed by Maya conceptions. Or often the women get together and say, these men are impossible. They are too groovy. They're so groovy, so unintelligent, and I hate these men. If you're Krishna conscious, you will see these are conditioned souls like you are a conditioned soul. Only someone who is attracted has to protect himself with judgmental words and with such type of rejection. Behind every rejection is a subtle acceptance. You deal with the mind. It has two functions only. It accepts things and it rejects things. But if it doesn't take things serious because it's in Krishna consciousness, it doesn't have to accept and it doesn't have to protest against it. There's a different vision, a Krishna conscious vision. So Prahlad saw Krishna everywhere, and therefore he was totally protected, and Hiranyakashipu saw Krishna nowhere, wherever he looked. So now I have a good surprise for you. Krishna consciousness, the process of Krishna consciousness, if you apply it properly, like our Kavi Chandra Maharaj had said yesterday, the day before yesterday in his lecture, you know, when we gave the chat lecture, he said, when you apply Krishna consciousness properly, it works. Krishna comes in your heart. If you apply it improperly, yeah, then not much happens. Something happens, but not the ultimate things. So Krishna consciousness brings you to a level of realization and it makes you joyful. Krishna talks about this in the second chapter of, second verse of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna consciousness, he says here, is not theoretical. It's not just jnana, knowing something, but you make an experience and this experience protects you. Some of you know the shloka. Raja vidya raja guyam pavitram idamuttamam pradyaksha vagamam dharmyam susukam katumavyayam. This knowledge is the king of education. It's the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge. And because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, huh? You make an experience of who you are. It's the perfection of religion. It is everlasting and it is joyfully performed. My point here is Krishna consciousness brings you to a pradyaksha. Pradyaksha means directly experienced. You see it for yourself. You understand it is such. I remember when I joined Krishna consciousness, I come from a very useless background, very much engaged in the world. And I was thinking, how can one ever become free from sexual desires? And I had, one day I had chanted a lot and read a lot. And I felt really blessed by Srila Prabhupada. And I was going out for book distribution. And I thought, let me go to the places where I used to wander. I remember I went to the Karolinenstraße. If you know what is the Karolin Ulitsa. You know, the word already says it. It was a place of sense gratification. And I thought, let me go only in the restaurant and distribute some literature. And then I went up, and yes, there was in Hamburg at that time people, the young people, demonstrated on the street for rooms which were given by the city for free sexuality. So I just, you know, in my mind, I only wanted to take a little rest from book distribution, but, you know, outwardly. But inside, I don't know what I wanted. I went into this room, I opened it, and there were two people not dressed properly, to say it, to say it very politely. I opened a door and I understood I was looking into my mind. And I don't know what happened. By Prabhupada's desire, it's a rare occasion. I had this vision to understand here are two people who are on the bodily platform. They don't know that at this moment their spiritual life. And I said to them in the room, I don't know why, I said, can you just stop for a moment and listen to me? I know of a higher enjoyment. Really? They said, yes, I said, if you don't mind to just cover yourself, we can talk about it. So they, anyways, there is not so much pleasure in this, you know, and they immediately were willing to listen. They put some blankets around themselves, and then I started to read from the Bhagavad Gita to them. I was a young devotee. I was totally convinced, and because I was so absolutely convinced of spiritual life, they were extremely interesting. Said, this book, we have to read this book. I said, yes, that's why I came here. I'm here, a book distributor. Take it. Give me 10 marks. You know. Yes, here. And so on. So they were very nice people, but they were Maya. In that time, and I give this example because sometimes by mercy this problem in a conditioned soul can go away. You know that you have these conflicting desires. You can understand things as they are, not on the theoretical platform, but as Krishna says here. It's pradyaksha. You see it directly before your eyes. It's not a theoretical knowledge. It's pradyaksha in the direct sense of the word. So, Krishna consciousness is meant to bring you to this level of experienced knowledge, and you do this when you go in the training of a guru. The guru, according to Vedic tradition, trains you in three things. Would you like to know it? First of all, he makes you understand the knowledge of Brahman. That means spiritual existence. That is, he will preach to you about it. You know, that's not enough. Then the second comes. He teaches you in a specific way. What this means is, according to time, place, and your personal circumstances, how you are as a person, and how you think, how you are conditioned, he applies the transcendental knowledge to your own case, if you so want, and your own circumstances. This is what is very important for a guru to know how to do this and to learn how to do it so that he can specifically help his disciple to tell him what the spiritual knowledge means now for you is you act like this and this and this. And then when the disciple does it, he will make a certain realization. Then the next and the last point, which I personally feel is almost the most important point, is the guru has to give strength to the disciple
by his blessings, so that he can act upon the knowledge. That's important. Now, this brings us to the question of Nikunya Rasa, who had this very nice question when Kavichanda Maharaj and myself gave this morning class. She was asking how to obtain the blessings, and she already understood, I have to please the spiritual master by following his instruction, by doing seva. And she wanted to know which seva and so on and so forth. And it was my turn to speak, so I answered, see what you can do now in the beginning in your present circumstances, and you will see how from this start or from by this method your circumstances will widen and broaden, and you can do more. It's no longer so narrow in your life, and so on. So then we get the blessings. Blessings means blagoslav, isn't it? We get the blagoslav. And by the blagoslav, love. Yeah, I said it. That's almost. By the blagoslav, we all of a sudden feel, oh my God, something is happening. We even go to our spiritual master and say, you are doing something with me. I don't know what you are doing, but something is happening in me. Maybe I shouldn't know, but I'm interested to know. But that some things are secret. So this is how spiritual training helps us to get from the level of theoretical understanding to this pradyaksha understanding, this understanding which helps us and which gives us strength. So when I was a new devotee and I went to Karolina Ulitsa, and I went into this forbidden room, the room of my mind, I felt the blessings of Prabhupada. I knew. I was sitting there preaching to these people. They were full of happiness and gratitude. Wow, you came. You came really at an important time of our life. And you helped us. Wow, thank you. This is God's arrangements for us. You know, and they were from Amsterdam. They had to travel back to Amsterdam. I wouldn't be surprised if there are devotees somewhere now. But this was clearly not my doing. It was the blessings of my spiritual master, which were there at that time, because maybe I had pleased him with my attempts to distribute his books. Maybe. I hope. So, there is a traditional example of how important blessings are. It appears in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives knowledge to Sanatana Goswami, and at the end, Sanatana Goswami does something which you will not find in any university. He goes to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He falls down before him. And to indicate his humble mood, he takes a straw in his mouth. This is a sign. It's body language. It means I feel myself as humble as a cow. You know, I'm very, very humble, fallen. I'm like an animal. So he takes a sattvic animal. You know, he doesn't go like I'm a tiger, but he takes I'm a cow. You know, and he wants to indicate I'm very fallen. I'm very low. And now please. Would you put your lotus feet on my head and bless me that everything you taught me
comes alive in my heart. Would you give me this blessing, please? How nice, isn't it? And Gauranga Mahaprabhu did this. He saw this was my devotee, so humble. He placed his lotus stopala on the feet. Wow, he was so ecstatic. Just think of this. Gauranga's lotus feet on the head. Ooh. And empowered Sanatana Goswami to do his service, which was momentous. The Goswamis, you must be knowing, they went through all the Vedic literature and extracted the secret knowledge of bhakti out of the Vedic scriptures and then canonized this knowledge by writing important Vaishnav granths, Vaishnav books. That was the first thing. Then they went to the holy places and with spiritual vision and spiritual help, they discovered the places of pilgrimage. That is what they did. Then they established the service of the deities in these holy places. And maybe someone can help us. What was the fourth order they fulfilled? Maybe you remember, Kavichanda Maharaj? They wrote literature, they found the places, they established deity worship. What? And what? Kundas, yeah, that's all in the excavating the holy places. Something else. But they were, it's a little early, our brains need a little olive oil to work. Sanatana Goswami was blessed to do this difficult work by Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And this is what Krishna talks about here. Don't be depressed nor anxious about the execution of your service. What you want to do, what you are begging from me, has already been granted. It's done. Hogya. Finished. It will be successful. Huh? No problem. Now, I want to come to the end of this class. It's a short class because I know you will have many questions when you hear this. If you want to get a mission, you need to pay with two coins. I'm saying it like this to make it understandable. Krishna gave Brahma two instructions how he would be successful. He said, situate yourself in penance and meditation and follow the principles of knowledge to receive my favor. By these actions, you will be able to understand everything from within your heart. Now, Prabhupada gives a purport to this important verse. He says, the mercy the Lord bestows upon a particular person engaged in executing the responsible work entrusted unto him is beyond imagination. So you get mercy beyond your imagination. But, Ali, or Medyutim, but his mercy is received due to our penance and perseverance in executing devotional service. You have to take it serious. You have to be willing to give your best. You have to be perseverant. What is perseverant? Ustrayan.
Even if the result doesn't come immediately, you have to be Ustriyan. Oh, it's a difficult word. And that is a little bit astragost, to keep on going, to keep on chanting your rounds, even if you are not sitting under a kalpa briksha tree in Vrindavan, and the Vrindavan atmosphere rewards you. To keep on following the four rules and regulations, even when there is opportunity to break them. You have to be perseverant. Very important. You have to know one little slogan in your heart. No matter what, I will just do it. This you have to learn. You have to first convince yourself, is this where I can place my faith in it? And then, no matter what, you have to keep doing it. It's almost like a person who knows that a certain set of physical exercises is necessary for him, and he has to be willing to do the set, the exercises, until he is successful. Venu Gopal told me about this. He had sciatica problem. It was so bad, he couldn't get out of bed any longer. And he, you know how he ate? Like a cow. He went on his four legs, and then he could eat like this. It was so bad. Does any one of you know what is sciatic pain? Yeah? Ivana, you know what it is. Basim, you must know what it is from car driving, isn't it? Ischias. How do we say ischias? Oh. So then, Venu Gopal is very creative. He got in contact with the ischias expert of America. He's a little creative. And the ischias expert of America told him, do these four exercises. I have cured 20,000 people last week. It always works. But it is so painful that you think you are in the hellish planets. But do it and it will work. So then there is this one exercise. You take, anyone who has it, I can teach you how to do it. I'm doing it also, and it works. And you just go like, and you think, Hare Krishna, it's not so bad. Ooh, and then you go a little bit more. That's too much. Who wants to suffer? Give me a pizza, but you have to continue. And then you're under the ceiling. And when you do it, it takes one day and you are free from the problem. Because you can ask Venu Gopal. After one day, 3 months he was in bed, and he did this from the expert from America, and bang, it was gone. So this is how you have to do devotional service. Not devotional service. Some things in Krishna consciousness. 16 rounds. I know. It's evening time. Oh, now I want to talk with my friends. And not chant these. Tomorrow is also a day. I'm still young. It will work. But no, you have to be a little perseverant. Krishna talks about this. For an aspiring transcendentalist, we want to become a transcendentalist, the sincere observance of his practice constitutes piety, and the neglect of his practice constitutes sin. With this understanding of what is good and what is evil,
one should detach himself from activities of sense gratification by sincere practice of his discipline. If you want to know where this is from, I found it yesterday. It's from the 11th canto, chapter 14, text 26. Please read it. It's an amazing shloka where Krishna tells us how to be successful in bhakti. There are wonderful commentaries of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur to this. So this sincere practice, sincere observance, how do we say observance? Yeah. This is piety, and the opposite is what separates you from Krishna. Krishna. So you need some perseverance and penance for this process to get the mercy of Krishna and to get through this. Now this becomes easy when you know that there are two types of devotional service. One is called bhakti with nectar, and the other is bhakti without nectar. Who knows bhakti without nectar? I know very well what this is. I know it too long already. My dear devotees, everything is so easy if you perform bhakti with nectar. It's the higher taste. It will not be any problem. Bhakti with nectar means you just have to be a little bit eager to know where you can find the nectar. Basically, you find the nectar in Shravanam and Kirtanam and Smaranam, the three foundational practices of the nine practices of devotional service. But where will you do your Shravanam so that it's with nectar? Of course, in the association of devotees. Like yesterday, when the devotees sang our Vanmadati Seva Kunj, whoo, so nice, she was so absorbed in Krishna, how she sang, how Sankarshan sang, how Nikunya Rasa sang. And we all sang together. It was so nectar, so much nectar, isn't it? You felt, I want to be here. At this, I want to be here. I have no desire now to go to the movies at this moment. I'm at the proper place here. I'm really, that's it. My heart is somehow open to Krishna, and this is good. Or, you know, when you want to hear about Krishna, you must know where you can hear something which inspires you. Nowadays, you have these MP3, these new hearing devices, iPod and MP3 recorders, and everything. So there are some lectures which inspire you more than others. Listen to those lectures. I can guarantee you it will be very nectarian. But the real key to bhakti is really get yourself a life. Get a mission in your life and please Guru and Krishna with this, and you will get the blagoslov and will have the strength to act on the spiritual platform. Hare Krishna. This is the example of Lord Brahma. And the way Prabhupada writes his purport says, we should also do the same principle and we will have the same result. So the Mishnah, the summary of this lecture is, get yourself alive. Sometimes we need things simple. This is all I wanted to say. Now let me look at the time. It's not so late like always, but a little late. So we will have time for a few questions. Sadanandi, Branko, Govindanandan, and Amarananda, Panunandini. And that's it for now. And, okay, Leila jumps at the last minute on the train. Yes. Yeah, a very good question. What do you mean by mission? Sadanandi thinks of a temple devotee or any devotee who is under an authority. If you want to find your mission, it is good if you first do the services which are necessary. Like in the temple, there are a few services which are required. Deity service, cleaning services, cooking services, services related to the preaching mission of the temple, you know, and so on. And when you do this patiently, you will come to that service which you are most talented for. It's almost like, Sadanandi, you can imagine. I can't give such good example. I'm so unintelligent in examples, but you know this American word, everything falls into place. It is when you're shaking yourself a little, then and you're in your place somehow. So surrender to what needs to be done, and as you do this, it will come naturally that you come to that service which is according to your talents and you can do. Mm-hmm. But first surrender. Mm-hmm. That's a simple answer. I will not be able to give very, very long answers because of, yes, who was the next one? Maybe Govinda Nandan and then Branko. I think I remember. Yeah. Branko is first. Good, Branko. Reci.
It's just a continuation of the same question about authorized mission. Do we ask the Guru for the mission, or do we have some ideas what to do and ask the Guru if it is okay?
Aha. You understood the question? I personally very much believe that it's a mixture of the two. We should speak with our spiritual master. We should tell him what is going on, what is our experience on the path. And we should be willing to surrender. This is really very, very important. The Guru can help you the moment you are willing to surrender. What I have seen in my own life and also in the life of many others who have asked me for advice, there's something in us, one foot is on the gas pedal, we want to move on, and we sincerely mean it,
and another foot is on the brakes. You know what is brakes? And our motor goes and we get crazy in our head because of this. And then the spiritual master sees it, that we are crazy, tensed in us, you know. So if this is a problem. Do you know this problem? You know, really, we want to go. And it's we are serious. We are very serious. We mean it. Half of us means it. The other half, no, absolutely no. My dear boy, no, I said no. That's our problem. So therefore, I thought it's a solution. You need some nectar, Branko. You need to be convinced that spiritual life is more enjoyable than material life. And it has to be deep. It has to be deep. You need to be convinced of this. It's not practical. You need to go to a 4 days Radhastami festival and go into sincere therapy, you know, for spiritual life. Yeah, I can guarantee you, after these 4 days, you will be different. Your heart will be softer. You already look softer. It worked already on you. Now don't do the mistake. As soon as it's over, okay, zip, back to my Maya, you know. Maybe you plan already. Okay, it's only 10 more hours. No, 9 hours and 53 and a half minutes, you know. Hare Krishna. You looked like planning something very serious. Shalom Seth. Yes, I know you needed to do some stretching. Shalom Seth. Sorry, that's not a good joke. Do you have sciatic pain? Yeah. I know the exercises from Venugopal. Ask Venugopal. He can tell you the exercise. Ooh, so good. Dobro. Now we have Govindanandan.
Mm-hmm. If I see my life, maybe like some other devotees, we are not as qualified as Prabhupada. And then for me, it seems that we don't get permission as soon as we see our spiritual master, or as soon as we get.
There was so special Govindananda, two liberated souls met, you know, that's. I understand totally what you said, and I'm very grateful that this question came up with Sadanandi. See, when we hear mission, it may not be always so super dramatic like in Mission Impossible, you know. I don't know. I heard, you know. I'm. There's some movie is out. I can just speculate. It's something very difficult, and somehow he does it, and that's the movie, you know.
Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us two missions. And I think we can find ourselves immediately in there. Become Krishna conscious and spread Krishna consciousness to others. That's now, how you do that, that will fall into place as you are willing to surrender. It's not so super See, the fact that you have already arrived in a spiritual movement tells you very simple, you have found your mission in life. And my dear devotees, please now don't say, oh, that's too general. I mean, we are a minority group. It's not that the general populace of the 20th century is a Hare Krishna. You're very specific already. Krishna has already shown you a very large point of your mission. And how you do it in detail, that will come over time. And it sometimes changes. But the basic facts, become Krishna conscious and distribute Krishna consciousness to others. Isn't that a mission in which every one of us can almost find themselves in? Isn't it? It sounds so right. Ida, how does it sound for you? That's me, isn't it? It sounds like that's me. Yes, Bodhi Doba. I will become. What? And then the details will become revealed to you. I believe when you keep these two things in balance, it's very, very easy. See, we are often a little out of balance, and then we get all these difficult questions in our lives. And although everything is uncomplicated, we make it complicated because we either don't do enough sadhana, spiritual practice, or we are becoming a little selfish and don't do anything for the benefit of others, either devotees or people and so on. And when we are unbalanced, then yes, then we are a little mentally. It is very simple. So then let me see. I think Nikunya Rasa was. Did you have a. No. Bhanu Nandini? Yes, please. One more for now, yes. Get out of this, yeah. What do you translate it? You all understood the question. We make a mistake, then we are totally disturbed also by our own mistake, and we are blocked. Blocked somehow. We are blocked. So then, how to go into another mindset? See, for this, it's so important to walk the path with, I would like to say, peers here. Peers are, do you know the English, the Croatian word for peers? It's people on our level.
Yeah.
Friends. What? Yeah. It's so absolutely important for this process to have sadhu sangha, you know, and not only the sangha of, you know, I think we all feel very, very inspired to reveal our hearts to the spiritual master, or to other very, very exalted devotees. It's necessary that we have friendship with those of us who walk on the same, on the same, you know, level, shoulder height. That's why this idea of practicing spiritual life in small groups is very interesting. Rupa Goswami expresses it in a different way. He says, "Svajatiya," people who are on your level and who with whom you can exchange and so on. Because in that exchange with people on an equal level, something very important takes place. You reveal your heart. "I did this mistake. I'm sorry." And the other person will immediately understand, "Yes, I know what this is, this mistake. I also do. And this helped me, you know." And in this exchange, you can really gather strength. There is a very interesting discussion in our movement about, you know, the counselor system. You might have heard about it. It's a devotees meet in their groups and discuss things, and they somehow get so much nourishment and strength that it can go on. And I have a very good news. Sundarananda and myself, we have talked with Akrura, who has a lot of experience in how to build these groups. Small groups, and he will give seminars on this. When, Sundarananda? Next weekend, yes. And it is our hope to build such groups inside and outside the temples, outside for the congregation. And I don't know. See, Bhanu Nandini, it may not always be so formal, like this group, that he's in my group, and this, and we meet like 3:30 every Saturday, and so on. But the idea is you need devotee friends, and exchange with them. It's very, very important. I want to give you an example. I always like to talk about myself. I'm very sorry, but see, we older devotees, older swamis and so on, we know that, I don't know if you know, some of our older devotees have left us. This is common knowledge, even gurus and sannyasis. And we have asked ourselves why. And usually one reason is they didn't have enough, you call it peer association. What is the, what? Vajnazi.
We have it more connected with the age, you know,
Yeah. But you know what I mean. Sannyasis, God brothers, need to come together. And it's so important that they do this, because so often they have this problem, they are all alone, you know. So I remember, we live in Berlin, and I sometimes I invite my God brothers to come. I know they are tired, so we have a special bed for them with good blanket and good cushion. And then, first of all, I say, Paraji, sleep. No one will look at the clock here. We are all normal people, and we will most probably also sleep sometime. So then we say, and now we go on the lake and we row. And then we go on the lake and row, and we discuss amongst brothers. And I can tell you, what the lake knows about us, no one else knows. The lake has all the information. You know, what I talk with Krishna Chaitra, Prabhu, and all others who have come and visited. It's very nice. It's very important. You feel so relieved. See, when you do a mistake, and then it stays all in your heart, and it becomes bigger, more complicated. Oh, and finally you arrive at the place, I'm a demon, most probably. I knew it all the time. Now it's absolutely clear. And you go, and so on. And when you speak with a devotee, a lot of that hot air goes just like, and leaves you. It is important that it's peer association. Krishna Das Kaviraj says, my path has become very difficult and slippery. I need the walking stick of the devotee's mercy. You know, that is how he expresses this principle. So nice, huh? The walk, when it's really slippery, you need a stick, and then it's okay, you remain. Good. Hare Krishna. Our last question was here. Who? Oh, Amarananda ji. How could we forget? Yes. Laziness, yeah. I will give you a very surprising answer. Sleep a little bit more. I'm so sorry, you will not. Sometimes we are just not rested enough. And then we just can't do it. It's so simple. It's real. I see this many times. Devotees who come with big problems, I tell them, please, I will see you after 5 hours of solid sleep. Go to rest, sleep, and come back after 5 hours, and let's talk then. And after 5 hours, they come back. So, how is everything? I said. And they say, Maharaj, I slept for 4 hours, and then I chanted the remaining hour, and now everything is gone. But there's another laziness, and that laziness is maybe because you have doubts deep inside. There is the mental laziness. The physical laziness is the physical causes of laziness may be exhaustion, but then there is the mental things, and that is you have maybe some doubts, some insecurity, some. And then you will do a million of other things before doing what you do. Or it's not yet clear, really. I remember with the Vedic Way, it took me half a year
before I exactly knew. And what did I do? I sat down on my writing table. I knew I had to start working hard now. And then my mind told me, why don't you do the emails first? Now this is my trap, because once you get lost in the emails, your whole mental energy goes to the people who write to you. Okay, in 2 years you will have to give one seminar in Russia. Why don't you do that first? What does it mean? The mission which is before you, it's not yet clear. You can't see your way into it. You can't know where to start and where to stop. And it may need some more clarity. You may have to work on what Govindananda was telling about, the preparation for this. I found this out, for instance, when I write about Dharma. I first had to read, before I could write, I had to really prepare, get an understanding of Prabhupada's concept of Dharma, and see other sources, Sanghita, Manu Sanghita, what is Dharma there, how is it practical today, is it, and had to really go into the area very deeply, and then, clack, I knew. Often we are not lazy, we are unclear about what to do. Foggy, hazy, bewildered. We need clarity. And we can't jump when we are bewildered. You know what they do with horses. I have one very, very, very dear friend of mine who is an Olympic horse rider. He rides these super horses, you know, which can jump from here to Alaska. They have to ride over, they have to jump over these obstacles. And when they don't know how it looks, you know, they don't know how to calculate their jump. And they go to the obstacles, maybe before, I saw TV before I came to Krishna consciousness, and you could see the horse, first class horse, runs to the obstacle, and then it goes, and the rider, the jockey goes, yeah, 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 and fires him up, and you can see he wants to jump. He's the circulation is going well, and he's going, and then at the last moment, shoo, he goes, he doesn't jump, and the jockey goes and gives him the sauce, you know, and is so frustrated. He wanted to win the prize. And Dieter, this is my friend, I asked him what to do in this situation. I mean, you have to talk with your friends on things. And they say, these people don't know. You have to go with your horse before the jump and let it look at the obstacles and how long it is, how high it is. And you have to really see that your horse understands it. The horse has to know, okay, we are now looking at where we are going. And then, when it knows, it just, yoo-hoo, and it jumps. And then, where's the next one? I remember the next one. Oh, yes, yoo-hoo, and it jumps. And no problem. Many times, we don't know our obstacles. And then we don't know how to jump, how to move. What should I do? Then we are hesitant, and we interpret it as laziness. It's not lazy. I personally think when there's a good-hearted devotee, he's not lazy, he's just unclear. And maybe not enthusiastic and inspired, but this is because you are unclear about it. That's one answer. There are many different things. For now, Lena. Okay. Yes. About who? Two priests, yes. Hare Krishna. The same story is there in our tradition. And it's there in the Christian tradition. They all write about this thing. Well, a very simple answer is what you resist that persists, yes. Because you think negatively about something, you are still thinking about it in the same way. The Krishna conscious way is, we don't think negatively about Maya all the time. Ah, this is Maya, that is Maya, this is Maya. Because then we will think of Maya all the time. We think of Krishna. We read and we do hearing and we think of the third alternative, I would say. We don't think of Maya in the sense of yes Maya or no Maya. We think of Krishna. We totally get out of this mindset and so on. It's a very true story. When you find your heart is full of thinking of a mistake, instead of just thinking of the mistake and the mistake and mistake, bring your mind off to something else. And best, in some other word, correct the mistake. As soon as you see did a mistake, especially in relationship to people, you must immediately, even if your ego doesn't want it, correct the mistake. Because there is something like when you do a mistake and you have hurt a person, that somehow sticks with you. And I once heard an example of it, and I found it very nice. When a snake has bitten you, don't continue to run as if nothing has happened. You have to get the poison out of your blood. Otherwise, it gets to your heart and kills you, the poison. So in the same way, when you make a mistake in relationship to devotees, best is first to give it some attention in the sense of see where was the mistake, what was wrong, and then go and apologize. I'm just preparing as one of my things in the Vedic way, the art of apology. It's an amazing subject matter which is not dealt with very much. We hear a lot of the forgiveness, how important it is to beg, not to forgive, but how do you get forgiveness? You know, you need to know the art of apology. One of the little cherries on the Vedic cake. So, yes, I'm sorry that each one of your questions deserves more of explanations, but I'm not so expert in giving explanations, and time is not with us at the moment. We are already 10 minutes before 10. I just wanted to say a few of you will leave today, I heard. Thank you for coming, and it's so nice that we had this festival. It was Sundarananda's idea. I really thank you very much, Sundarananda. He thought, why just one day? Why not more days? Why not? and it's very nice. And when we have, I think we want to create this temple very attractive by inviting Radha Govinda on the altar. So then we should see if we can have important festivals. It's nice. Of course, it was easy because the festival started on Thursday, And then it was almost a prolonged weekend. It's easy because, but such opportunities should come again, and then we can do this again. Because did you notice how the Navyagya, it was different because you were different. The singers were different after 3 days. Then it's different. All right, so thank you very much. This afternoon we will hear Kavi Chandra Maharaj, a little bit myself, and we will sing and we will dance and we will receive hopefully many guests. So I wish you all the best. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gaudi Thai ki, Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.